Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical, sometimes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Musical Improv Comedy.
I'm Heather Eckhart.
I'm Joe Samuel.
I'm John Creamer.
John Creamer, did you hear that?
Did you hear that? There's a third person in the room.
Ooh.
Ooh.
John Creamer, what are you doing here?
I am here podcasting with you and finding out what I'm doing as we go along.
Oh.
Which is what us improvisers do.
That is what we do in the world of improvisation.
Okay. However, we did dedicate our last podcast to you.
That's very kind of you.
Because it's about singing without singing.
Right.
Would you like to demonstrate that?
If you'd like me to.
I'd love you to, yeah. Okay, we have a subject, please,
moment,
Heather.
Yeah, we're going to sing about the Mr. Men.
We're going to sing about the Mr. Men.
Okay.
Great.
Right.
Well, I'd have to say that today I'm feeling a little bit like Mr. Set. Yesterday I went fishing in a lake along with my dear old dad. He sat there wrapped up on his chair, huddled against the cold. And when he got up, he tottered around, and I realised he's looking old.
You're supposed to do it without singing.
Sorry.
That was singing, it was really nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, all you people out there who can't sing, because John's learnt how to sing.
I have.
Within the last year.
So, John, in all seriousness, obviously this podcast is called Musical Improv Comedy,
mm-hmm.
and probably about, I imagine about 6 years ago, you founded the Maydays, that's correct, isn't it, in 2003, 2004?
Something like that.
Almost nine years ago.
Yes,
mate.
And about 5-6 years ago, there was a revolt, wasn't there? And the Maydays said, we want to do music in our shows.
Yes.
How did that make you feel?
Very, very, very nervous and intimidated because I'd only just started improvising with the company. I had been directing up to that point. So revolt number one was, we don't need a director, so join us in improvising, which was a journey. And no sooner had I landed in that than it was announced that we were going to be doing music.
How did it go at first?
It was a bit of a one-two. Truly dreadful.
What was the first musical public show you did as the Maydays?
Gosh, it must have been Mayday the Musical.
A full improvised musical.
A full improvised
That was the
musical.
First thing you thought you'd have a go at. Here's a new idea, let's do some music. Let's do a full musical.
Exactly.
Mental.
Yes. Didn't go at all well for a number of reasons, one of which we had no concept of structure of song, structure of musical,
mm-hmm.
Purpose, and several of us, including particularly me, were pretty well unable to sing at all.
And so what happened after that?
It became a real struggle because there's that feeling of being around people that can sing in an improvisational manner and recognising that you can't. So it's a very exposing feeling and an uncomfortable feeling.
So it's now sort of 5 years later. And so I guess what we're interested in a little bit today is, you know, you are now in a successful, functioning improvisational troupe that uses music all the time.
Yes.
And you sing songs all the time.
What's changed?
I had a couple of different strategies. One of which was to be in songs with yourself or Jason, who's another one of the troupe, who sing very well. And I found if I stood close to someone like yourself, and it would just sort of rub off, and it was sort of like
a disease.
Not like a disease, but more of a sort of pitching and an empathy, or there was something that helped in doing that.
It's weird actually, because my singing has got worse in the
since
last
18
months.
Since you've been standing next to me.
Why?
I'm joking. I noticed that.
And that helped. How did that help?
It helped. I think underneath a lot of this, a lot of it's emotional. And it felt a sense of collaboration and support in being with someone who not just could sing, but also wanted me to succeed.
Mm.
And I think that gives us a deeper confidence than just brazening it out confidence and going, I'm going to sing badly, big.
but yeah. Actually I'm working on this, and I've got someone with me who wants me to succeed as well.
I think you two need to sing some kind of duet.
I think you're right.
To demonstrate. Yeah, you need to sit next to John.
Right.
Okay.
But what should we sing about? Should we try a tagline duet?
See, that was my gold
nice
standard.
Idea.
Okay, so what do you want this tagline duet to be called, Joe?
I'd like it to be called Nearly Spring.
Nearly Spring, okay. Warmer today, isn't it?
It is. Oh, Janice, look.
What is it, Jeff?
The crocus buds.
Oh,
the first one is opening.
Wow. It's so beautiful. Look. A daffodil.
That's that one we planted last year on our anniversary.
I remember it. I remember this time last year. It was nearly spring.
It was nearly spring.
Time it's hard to come together for the tagline at the end. So what I really liked about that was the fact you definitely, when we knew there was a little breath just before it, you were going to sing that tagline together
at the end.
Which is the whole point of a tagline duet. It's lovely when that happens. A nice example of being supported in a song, because tagline duet, that is what it's all about. Having the confidence to come back in with your verse and knowing that the other person's going to kind of mould their verse around yours or vice versa. Great. Nice.
And the inner juggling act of being in it, doing the bridge, and at the same time, a part of the brain devoted to remembering that initial verse.
Yeah.
That's a real fine line.
A skill we've talked about, isn't it? So how do you do that at the same time as singing?
Personally?
Yeah.
What I'd do in that one is remember the end word of the lines.
Right.
If I've got those, I can fluff it a bit, and also just having that word will tend to remind me of the line. Yeah. If I try to remember the whole line, it's hard.
Yeah.
Now, you do have a gift for lyrics.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about how you come up with lyrics, what your mental process is, particularly in our show where a lot of the songs are coming off a scene with quite a strong premise? So, for example, one of our shows is a newspaper-based show, and you'll be quite good at coming up with kind of quite specific rhymes, topical lyrics. Have you got any pointers for people who maybe can't come up with lyrics?
I try to find something in the article or in the scene that has some emotional weight to it. And I then come up with rhymes around that. And at the same time, I'm also looking for rhymes that have a certain feel.
That's interesting.
I can give you an example, because I've got one come to mind. Was a show we did for Vistage, and their CEO had put Pritt glue on his lips by mistake instead of lip gloss, and we were singing a blues, and the idea lips, my lips are sealed, came to me, which was a great way of saying I don't want to talk about this. He was embarrassed by it, so there was an emotional weight of, oh, you've embarrassed me in front of everyone because I made this silly mistake, I'm not saying anything, my lips are sealed. And then I thought, okay, sealed is not too hard to rhyme with, but what would really make it, and in my mind, stickier? And I came up with the word congealed. So in the first line, I ended with the word, I think the first line was, oh, you wonder why I'm looking congealed, I'm not telling you, my lips are sealed. Which is a,
so you know when you've hit the right one, is what you're saying. So you might go through a few in your head, and you'd be like, that's it.
That's the one,
I'm
going
to do that.
Yeah.
I have to say that in that very same song, meanwhile, I was experiencing the improviser's worst horror.
Which is someone stealing your rhyme.
With the blues, it's not a kind of organic song. Everyone has to go, everyone has to do the structure, everyone has to go. And this is a big high-pressure gig. And I, because it was the sticky blues.
Oh, and the finale of a high-pressure gig.
Of a high-pressure gig. It was the sticky blues, and I, you know, you just think of things that are sticky.
Sticky lips blues. If
no, it was sticky.
Oh, was it sticky?
Yeah,
okay.
It was sticky. And I thought, I'll go with Vaseline, because Vaseline's just funny, isn't it? And then a moment before I was about to go, Katie Shute stepped out, she took my Vaseline rhyme. And my...
I remember this moment.
Really did not know what the hell I was going to do. I was like, right, here we go. Let's step into the void.
Yes.
And I had a similar thing. I thought, right, okay, I have to just come up with something really, really quick. So I thought, well, what's this song really about? Sticky, lubricant. It's about lubricants, basically, isn't it? This guy's the CEO of Vistage. You know, he's the boss. He's not a man that says no to stuff. He doesn't say can't. So I think what I said in the end was, I'm the CEO of Vistage, I'm a real man, I don't lubricant, I lubrican.
I remember that moment very well. Brought the house down, in fact.
Yeah, but I would never ever have thought that if I hadn't been scared to within an inch of my life.
Yeah.
But you see, is that fortunate, is that part of your genes, that in that moment where you're scared, something comes out, or is that just practice?
I did have a backup.
You had a... So, hang on, there'll be people out there who are saying... Who are really associated with that story up to a point. Then you go, oh yeah, oh your rhyme went awful. Then you stepped into the void and you completely screwed it up because you couldn't think of anything and you went, oh, ha, 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 sorry, I haven't thought of anything. Would be most people's experience. How come you got to that point and not only did you come out with a very clever pun, you had a backup as well?
Well, when the music starts, you know, we've had people say it's like a ticking clock, isn't it? And they can't think of anything over the sound of the ticking clock. I always think, okay, well, I'll come up with a really rubbish one first.
So did you have that?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, I'll just rhyme with Pritt stick, because everything rhymes with stick. So it would have been something really rubbish, like, oh no, what am I going to do? Get it off me quick. I shouldn't have covered myself with Pritt stick.
So you could get away with it.
Yeah, so yeah. I've rhymed with Pritt stick, I've kind of ticked the box. It's about, roughly about what we're doing, but it wouldn't have been clever.
So once you've ticked the box, the clock stops.
Yeah, and then I can come back and be more creative then.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense. In the bizarrely limited experience of having these things, because I'm always stuck behind the keyboard, when we do exercise, rhyming exercise and things. Like if we're doing Da-Do Run Run, where you just have to come up with a load of rhymes that are the same, I always try, you've got to have two in the bank.
Oh God, yeah.
Yes.
You've got to have two in the bank. Because you can't be going through the alphabet when it's 3 seconds before you open your mouth.
No.
Bick, kick, dick, can't use that. Ick, fick, gick. I mean, you're just, you know, in your whole world of pain then, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's the other thing that I've experienced, is that you can't say, I came up with the word Vaseline in my head and be like, Vaseline, screen, that doesn't make any sense. And then you feel like you're wasting time on the wrong word. Yeah. It's like, if I think about trying to find a rhyme for this any longer, I'm screwed. I'm going to have to find another word. And that's when you get into this free fall.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That has happened to me.
Yeah.
But that's why I think, I always think of a crap one first, and then I've got time. So, I've bought myself time.
Yeah. So then you can spend the rest of the time trying to find the best rhyme for Vaseline, and if you don't find it, it'll fall back on you.
Of course, the problem is when your rubbish one gets taken.
That's like your reserve chute. Sorry, a lot of parachute analogies. Yeah. Your reserve chute is gone.
And your instructor's pissed off.
And your parachute, your main chute doesn't work.
You pulled your ripcord and nothing's happened.
So there will come moments in shows where you just hit the floor face first.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
What do you do then?
I think there's a few fallback positions that I would call lifetime fallback positions, in that you can probably only use each one of them once in a lifetime.
In your career.
Yeah. Which is to actually just call it out and sing, I'm crap at rhyming, or
okay,
I wish I'd paid attention to English at school, mm-hmm, or actually, you are stepping out of character, you're breaking the fourth wall.
There's a meta thing.
But you're actually just going, you're putting your, as an improviser, you're putting your hands up and saying, I surrender.
Sort of appealing to the firing squad.
Yeah, really. Sort of going, yeah, you've got me.
Yeah.
Which, you can do that like probably once a lifetime. And I think there's probably a few of those.
Yeah.
And an audience would not want to see one more than every 3 months. Mm.
It's true though, but there's a difference between doing that in a workshop situation and a show situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right. I think if you're putting yourself on stage and people are paying ticket money to see you, then that is a lifetime fallback.
Yes.
But yeah. I actually openly encourage that kind of behaviour in a workshop, actually, because I think that unless you can break through the kind of fear, sometimes, then you become so frozen creatively that you're never going to be able to think of anything. So it's better to just step forward and go, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm interested in this lifetime fallbacks. Are there any more?
Luckily, I haven't thought.
I think hiding behind another improviser was my lifetime fallback that I did on stage runs.
Yeah. I've seen, did someone pretend to die or faint?
I've seen that one. Faint,
yeah. Heart attack.
Colin Mochrie.
Oh, yeah. But
for a start.
I've seen loads of people just literally die on stage. Literally.
Okay, yeah.
Like, if I become not alive,
mm-hmm,
then I don't have
then
to be.
Then maybe it will
anymore.
Go away. Okay, we're now going to do two hoedowns. I'm going to give you no time to think about it at
Jesus.
All.
Jesus. Yeah.
But what I want you to do is just like throw yourself into it.
Okay.
And if there's a fallback, use it to demonstrate a fallback. If you get the full thing, then great, we'll sing that.
Okay, what's this about?
Well, I'm not going to tell you until the moment before I start playing.
Oh,
and then
Jesus!
I can tell you
right,
then
who's going
in.
First?
Well, we're going to do one. The first one, you can go first.
Right, thanks.
And the second one, John can go first.
God, I actually feel scared.
Okay, so this one, Heather, is about cooking. Have you done the cooking hoedown before?
No, I just thought of it.
So you got bun and your eggs and bun.
Basically, I didn't know that I was going to do that until halfway through the song. I didn't know at the beginning.
Right, new subject for you, John. Okay, so this one is about sport.
The fuck this shit does actually work, and that was genuine.
So swear a lot.
Yeah, watch. I've done myself, haven't I? I'm not going to say swatch because that would just is better to just go.
Isn't it extraordinary? Piece. Such a normal word, such as watch.
Crotch.
So what's the moral of the singing story for you, basically?
For me personally, because I can't speak for other people.
No, this is your interview, this is about you.
Yeah, so the moral of this for me is to come back to the what I feel is the core of improvisation, which is collaboration. Mm. And to be vulnerable and be bad at something is actually an invitation and a willingness to collaborate that is more difficult and challenging than being supportive of someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to support someone than it is to actually, for me, to actually say, I'm not very good at this, I need help and support.
Mm.
And both of those are acts of collaboration.
You said something earlier, I think it was just a throwaway comment actually, about a song bringing an emotion to the fore. Do you think the music's helped with your characters in that sense in some ways? Do you think it can?
Definitely. I think if I go into a song without a sense of emotion, it's not going to be a very good song.
Mm.
If I go into a song that's got great rhymes but it's coming from my head, it's going to be pretty dull and a bit clever.
Mm.
If I go into a song with emotion, it may not be as well structured or as smart, but it's going to be far more enjoyable for my stage partner, for myself, and for the audience.
Yeah.
So it's a vital ingredient. And to be emotionally vulnerable in a song or anywhere, again, comes back to collaboration and support.
Just to finish off, I'd like to challenge you to sing a song in the style of Kate Bush about singing.
Okay. Singing.
Was that wrong on so many levels?
Yeah.